Okay. Wow. Things are just crazy. I'm not kidding. Just I'm talking about everything from little things each day to big things, and I'm sure many of you are having the same observations. It's just like the planet has been. It's out of frequency. Everything's wrong. It's not harmonized. It's utterly disjointed. But here, I got to play this again. This, for some reason, this has a kind of a mildly sedating effect. I wouldn't want to be living there on La Palma, but... kind of the opposite of white noise. The volcano now, if you look at the top of the homepage, I've got a split screen up there from a... There's three different live feeds now. This is really good angles. But the gas... There's a plume. It's a gas... I guess we'll call it a vent. It's flaming, blazing. And it's seemingly moving back toward, if not under, the lava caldera a little bit. Last night it was spot directly under it, and it was blowing lava all over the place. There's a tremendous amount of lava outflow now, and the ground is said to be shaking there, and this noise is utterly deafening. I don't know how those people are still living in that little community there, but they are. I still get the feeling this could go Mount St. Helens at any time. One enormous blast. If you look at the bottom of the top image, whoa, another volcano today. It's a running tally of the volcanoes of the day, and then some. Actually, the lava is being thrown out the back, the north side of the cone now. It's interesting. Today, there was another earthquake. Turn this down just a little. On La Palma Island, of 4.1. That's a pretty good shaker. 13 kilometers deep, but it's moving around. The magma is moving around. And if it moves further to the north and gets under the old ancient crater that's there with that 6,000-foot piece that goes straight up from the Atlantic Ocean and puts pressure on that 9-mile-long crack, that's what people are worried about. And the magma can go anywhere it wants. It can go under there. Now, I mentioned this earlier. There was another video of what can only be described as a shock wave coming up and out of the top of the volcano. It's like a dome, and it comes up. It starts small and enlarges as it gets taller and higher away from the volcano, and then it just goes up into space or wherever and dissipates. But this thing looked like a blast wave. It's the second time I've seen that. Oh, there was a spectacular explosion. Now, wow. And I'm wondering if, let's just say, the evil ones who want to just destroy this planet and reduce the population, as we well know, if they wanted that piece to fall into the Atlantic, and we have no guarantee that it would make a 1,000-foot high tsunami on the East Coast, we don't know, or however high on the southern British coast, France, Spain, we don't know, Africa. They could easily, at night, drop bunker busters into not only the caldera we're looking at, but into that crack. You can walk through that crack. It's about 6 feet across, 5-6 feet deep. It's a crack. Half the damn volcano is cracking away from the rest, and it'll go right in the Atlantic Ocean. So if they wanted to do that, believe me, they have the technology to do it. And I'm just wondering, when I see these two shock waves coming out of the caldera of the volcano that's active now, the thought occurred to me that maybe it was a bomb that was dropped in there from very high altitude at very great speed that no one would see. It was a shock wave. It was the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I've seen it twice now. Okay, so enjoy that, if that's the right word. It's again nice to see nature doing something that mankind isn't fully in control of. Maybe partially, I don't know in this case. Mitchell Henderson is back to answer that and all questions. The all-knowing, all-seeing Mitchell Henderson. Welcome back, Mitch. How are you?
It looks like not only is that volcano on the verge of blowing up, but everything is. Within our country, outside our country, China has now been confronted with Taiwan crossing each and every red line that China imposed on it. Okay, the prime minister, the president of Taiwan, says China wanted to talk to them about reunification, and right. And the president of Taiwan said, "There's no reunification. We're not unified. You're a different country. We are a different country." That is a red line. U.S. troops are now stationed on Taiwan. That is a red line.
For over a year, they've been there.
At some point, Chairman Xi has to save face. He's been lining all his ducks up in a row. He's gotten control of his society. He's purged his party. He's purged the military. He's reordered everything to put it on a war footing. And like I spoke about last time, the people are sent messages all day long on their pop-ups on their phones, prepare for war, prepare for war, prepare for war. So here in the United States, prepare for this. We can already see that the vaccine mandate caused a sick out on Southwest Airlines, which canceled 2,000 flights. The air traffic controllers in Jacksonville walked off the job over the vaccine mandate and canceled 650 flights. Okay, we're not letting people come in on container ships because there's nobody to unload their ships because of vaccine mandates. People have had to leave their jobs, and so supply chains are breaking down rapidly.
But you know what the Chinese are doing, Mitch, with the ships that the container ships that are trying to get into port? If there is one alleged case of coronavirus, they shut the whole port down. See, that's crap.
Yes.
That's total crap.
Yes.
It's all being manipulated. Just understand
that. It's intended to weaken things, because weakness is when is the right time for war. Okay. So what I wanted to talk about is, since the Chinese government is telling people to prepare, I wanted to talk tonight about some things that we need to do to prepare. We need to do this to prepare because, you know, I can say with 100% certainty that China will invade Taiwan. What I can't say is when. That is a closely held state secret, okay? They will pick the time and the place to do that. And they're not going to let that out of the bag, okay? So we just need to be ready. We need to have been getting ready already. But let me just cover some things, okay?
Now, before you do, Mitch, hold on.
Go ahead.
Is it not true that the more Beijing holds off, the more prepared the Taiwanese will be? They're working around the clock. They're probably getting more nukes from the U.S. smuggled in there. Talking about nukes, they've got nukes. I don't think anybody doubts that. China may have to give up Shanghai, for example, if they want to invade Taiwan. They're going to pay a price. So they're trying to figure out what the price is, or if they can neutralize these big weapons that the Taiwanese clearly have. I mean, no one would think, honestly, doing geopolitical analysis, that we haven't given the Taiwanese some nukes. They've got some. So that's what's holding the Chinese back, I think.
Well, they're also looking at our behavior. It's like what we have done is we have taken all our assets in the Western Pacific, and we're moving them away from China. We've built up the military base on Wake Island, which was just left alone.
I know this is very interesting. Tell me more. Take your time on this. If we're actually, this is a retreat. Then we're retreating. We're withdrawing. Tell me more.
Right. So Chinese missiles, even conventional ones, can strike Guam and Saipan, where we currently have some military assets. We have a lot of military assets on Guam. But you have to remember that this is defense of the homeland. Guam is American territory. The Northern Mariana Islands are American territory. Wake Island is American territory. This is American soil, okay? So what we've been doing is we've been building up bases there. Now instead of building up on Guam, we've decided to build up on Wake, because Wake is outside of the range of their missiles, and yet we've got B-52s there. We've got the tanker things that can refuel the jet fighters that accompany the bombers.
Sure.
We've been putting missiles on there. We moved our anti-missile defenses from the Middle East, even though we still have soldiers there, and we're putting them in places like Wake Island. Let me just make everybody familiar with another thing. After World War II, the Japanese had owned the Caroline Islands, the Marshall Islands, Palau Islands, and Micronesia. And after the war, the United States took that over as a UN trust territory. Well, back in, I think, 1985, we gave them a choice of whether they want to be independent or not. So the Northern Mariana Islands, they decided to become a part of the United States. The other four, Palau, the Marshall Islands, the Caroline Islands, Micronesia, they all decided to become independent countries, but they could not defend themselves. So they had a 50-year pact with the United States where we are currently responsible for their defense. So the president of Palau, which is the closest, is kind of close to the Philippines. And I wouldn't say like really close. There's a lot of ocean between them, but there's nothing between Palau and the Philippines. So Palau has, months ago, they said, well, you know, we need the Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, to come out here because Chinese shipping is coming, fishermen are coming all around us and stuff. And then the Palau president asked the United States to go ahead and build big military bases on Palau. Okay. So Palau is an independent country, but it's called in free association with the United States. Okay. So
right.
Although they're not American territorial, they are in free association with us. So we do have an allegiance to them and them to us. Okay. So we have a duty to protect them. So China's looking at this. They're also looking, now when they look at the Australia submarine thing, well, they're very upset about the nuclear submarines, but the Chinese know that it's going to be a while before those submarines are ready to go.
Okay. How about 2 or 3 years? Yeah, if they're going to refurbish the LA class, it's going to take time. If they're going to build any, lay any new keels, come on, 2 or 3 years, it couldn't even, I bet it'd be 4 or 5. So this is basically it's jabber at this time.
So China has to strike at a time when the enemy is least prepared. Okay. And it's put it this way, every day from this point on, their enemy is more prepared each day. So in their calculus, they have to strike pretty soon. I mean, they've already, when they put the red lines on Taiwan, that was like an ultimatum. Like, if you do this, we go to war. So Taiwan has crossed those red lines repeatedly and rubbed it in China's face. Okay. So, if Chairman Xi wants to be the great helmsman like Mao, he's going to have to perform. And performance is Taiwan. Okay. He has to take that. Okay, but I want you to keep in mind that when this could be just a conventional war, But when this starts, things will spiral out of control. It'll mean that the United States, China, and so forth is distracted. This means maybe Russia can go ahead into Ukraine and take what they the provinces they want.
North Korea, if they want to do anything with South Korea, they would take the opportunity.
Yes, there's plenty of time to do that. Not only that, but Azerbaijan, who successfully fought against Armenia and Russia in Nagorno-Karabakh, is now making war with Iran. They know Iran is economically weak, okay, and the people are unhappy in Iran. Well, in northwestern Iran, the type of people that live there are Azeris, and Azerbaijan would like to probably expand their nation and include all Azeris into one nation. So there's a chance for war there. War between Iran and Israel. We can just say that they're already at war, okay, safely. It just hasn't gone big yet, okay? So the world situation is, well, it's like that volcano. It can just blow any time. It can cause a tsunami that wipes across the world, okay? And it's not just those instabilities. It's the instability here with the totalitarian state that we live in right now and the mandates that they're trying to force on us. These mandates are throwing people out of their jobs. What's going to happen to all their mortgages, all their car payments, all the bills these people own? What's going to happen to that? How is that going to send chaos into our economy? Okay, I mean, we have what we're seeing in our own country is we're seeing criminals have free reign. They can do what they want. Even a school shooter in Arlington, Texas, was released the next day on bail. This is unheard of.
This is cracking all the rules of an organized society, breaking them down.
Who was charged with capital murder and let out on bail. And then he murdered another, capital murder. I mean, it just, it's so insane that it has to be purposeful, okay? Because never in the world have we ever been so stupid as we are now. So it's got to be intentional. It can't be just, we've just got
you betcha. No coincidences. No way. Nope.
So let me just start by reiterating the statement made by Henry Kissinger, made at the World Health Organization Council of Eugenics on February 25th, 2019. And this is a direct quote, okay, direct quote. Once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything for the greater good. Control sheep minds and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions, and many of you in this room are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for their extermination. Okay, this is a direct quote from Henry Kissinger, okay, openly.
Yep.
You know, it's not a secret, okay? So the single most important thing you can do to survive and stay free is not get the vaccination. Okay? Could it be made any clearer to you? This is not a conspiracy theory. This is from public documents from the United Nations and the World Health Organization. Okay? So we know that the war can begin, World War III can begin any time. That may start as a conventional war in China, but it will spiral out of control. Once the first nuke flies, World War III could be over in less than 60 minutes. Okay? That's all it'll take. 60 minutes, and it's over.
That's true.
They'll have accomplished their goal. So I'm going to go over the rule of threes so people can keep this in their mind. Okay?
Mitch, do me a favor. Pull your phone back away from your mouth.
Okay.
Let me hear what it sounds like.
Does this sound better?
Twice as good.
Okay.
You can remember just to keep it back. What happens is that you have one of those phones that's very good, but when you get close to it, it tends to mush things together. So just pull it back.
Okay.
We can control the audio volume from the network, so just keep it back.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so you can only live 3 minutes without air. We know for a fact that our government will use biological warfare against us. The coronavirus is a biological agent against the world, okay?
Yeah.
They have done this to the world. They will, without a doubt, do this to pockets of resistance. Biological weapons can be targeted by spraying a target area, okay? They don't have to spread it wide. It can affect just a small area, okay? Because ultraviolet light kills both bacteria and viruses, spraying is usually done at night. It won't be something that you see coming in the daytime, okay? There are biological weapons designed to kill crops and livestock also, okay, to create famine. While in biological warfare training in the U.S. Army, we ran a study of how to create famine in communist China by spraying rice blasts, a fungal infection of rice, on rice crops in China that would rapidly spread outwards and create a famine. In a month, China could be without rice. People eating the infected rice would die from the toxin that the fungus produces.
Yeah.
Some of those viruses, bacteria and fungi, can make humans sick also. So the government will also use chemical warfare to kill isolated pockets of resistance. The United States government is one of the few governments that still has a large chemical weapon stockpile.
Big.
Those chemical weapons are organophosphates, like the nerve gases, that are essentially insecticides that kill humans. These can be sprayed from aircraft or by bombs or artillery shells. You can tell it's a chemical attack if the bombs are not very explosive. They tend to have a low explosives, and they will disperse the nerve agent without generating the heat that would decompose chemical weapons. They make a thud noise, not an explosion noise.
Got it.
Okay, these gases don't can be clear. You can't see them coming. Okay, so a military grade gas mask is a good thing to have to make sure that you keep breathing the air. Okay, this is why I bring air up. They will use the air against you.
A face mask
won't
work. It can
easily be found online and at Army surplus stores. Okay.
Yeah.
So if possible, get the ones with outside filters that screw on and off without removing the mask. Have extra filters. The logic for this is that we were taught in chemical warfare school to spray blood agents first, like cyanide gas, which will kill unprepared people, okay? And it also breaks down the filters in the mask so that you can follow on with nerve gases because the gas mask won't work against them. That's why it's good to be able to change the filter rapidly. Okay. So next, you can only live 3 days without water. You must have water supply. A well is best. Surface water can easily be contaminated. Store as much water as you can. Learn how to find water in your environment. Learn how to filter it in case it is contaminated. Contaminating water is as old as warfare. Poison the enemy water supply and poison the enemy. Will your government do this to you? Sure, why not? As Karl Marx said in the Communist Manifesto, the ends justify the means. As progressive Democrats say, by any means necessary. Never think that they really have any of your interests at heart. The only thing they want from you is blind obedience. They will pull no punches to exterminate you. Never underestimate them. Okay, so consider also radioactive fallout, which will get into surface water. A good filter would be a layer of fine silt to filter the particulate matter with a thin layer of Prussian blue, that's ferrous cyanide. It's pretty easy to get, to filter out heavy metals, which are usually toxic. A layer of thinly ground carbon to filter out most toxins, mostly organic toxins, and then a thin layer of sodium thiosulfate to filter out halide elements like iodine, bromide, and cyanides, topped with sand in the column, okay? And it takes time for the water to filter through this, but the filter you'll have to do. Also have potassium iodine tablets so that your body will not absorb radioactive iodine. Prussian blue in capsules to sequester heavy metals in your digestive system so that your body will not absorb them. Take no more than 10 grams a day of Prussian blue and expect to have blue poop again. Get a radiation meter, as it is the only way to know if the environment is radioactive, okay? On your show, you advise many, you advertise many products that can help detoxify you, okay? So a second aspect of water is shelter, because your body is 70% water. But that water inside you must be kept between 97.6 to 99.6 degrees in order for the chemical reactions necessary for life to take place. Too much external heat dehydrates you. Your blood gets thicker and harder for your heart to pump nutrients and oxygen to the cells in your body. I've seen people die from heat and dehydration. They died because their blood was so devoid of water that it was like jello. Your heart can't pump jello. Death is really cell death. When you don't get nutrients and oxygen to the cells start dying off, then you die.
Well, you know, the blood of people who have been vaxxed looks like sludge. And how can the heart pump that? Obviously, it's overworking the heart. And it is, anyone with blood like that can't have a rating that would see them living very long. It's not blood. It's sludge. And it won't even come out in many cases when people seek to do a blood withdrawal. I mean, these are crazy stories. But they're true. This is not good.
Well, they are. And there was this other doctor I saw. He was talking about he did blood work on this patient of his who gave permission for him to talk about it. But he did blood work on him before he took the vaccination, and then he did blood work afterwards. And what shocked this doctor was you have components in your blood that are, of course, antibodies, immune system, stuff like that. There's this component of your blood called granulocytes. And what they are is they are the damage repair cells that is in your blood system. So, like, you get a cut and then you develop a scab and it's being healed up. That's granulocytes that are doing that. So if you have an increase of granulocytes in your blood, it means that you have tissue damage that needs repair. He found that this man's granulocytes had skyrocketed 2 weeks after his second vaccination. That means that the vaccination is destroying body tissue, internal body tissue that needs repair. Okay.
Right.
So, well, that gets off the topic of water a little bit, but blood is water. That's how you transfer everything around. Okay. You need to keep your cells alive and functioning. So you must not allow too much external heat. Travel at night, stay in the shade, and of course, wear light clothing. Of course, hydrate also. The same problem if it is cold outside. Cooling your core temperature slows down the chemical reactions in your cells. If your cellular water freezes, it will burst your cells open. This is because water expands on cooling. This is why ice floats. It is less dense than regular water. Wear warm clothing. There are many modern clothing products and footwear that can keep you warm and dry for prolonged periods of time. Get a sleeping bag that keeps you warm. I got a sleeping bag that keeps you warm even if it's 40 below zero and it only costs $135. Buy two tents, a big one and a small one. A smaller one to sleep in, and a bigger one that you can set up the smaller one in. The air layer between the inner and the outer tent will keep you warmer than one tent alone will. Okay? So those are all functions of water. So you can only live 30 days without food. Canned foods last much longer than the expiration date. Freeze-fried foods last a long time. I ate a Mountain Home freeze-fried dried chicken teriyaki meal this year that I purchased in 1990. It was fine. Honey can store for thousands of years in glass year jars. Just don't feed it to babies. It can be fatal to them. Military MREs keep for a long time, but
Let me just, for our listeners, what don't we feed babies?
Honey.
Honey.
Honey's good because you can keep it, it'll store for, they found honey jars 4,000 years old and the honey was perfectly good. But honey has bacteria in it that doesn't bother us, but it will kill babies. Okay. So you should never feed a baby honey. Okay. So, for military MREs, they'll keep for a long time, but just make the judgment when you open it. The crackers and fruits last longer than the entrees. Buy guides to forage and plant food in your area. If you have trees, remember that between the outer bark and the inner bark, inner hard wood, there is a soft material called cambium. This carries water and nutrients up the tree. It is not gourmet cooking, but it will keep you alive. One man lost in the woods lived off tree cambium for 3 months. At least have a guidebook on how to track, trap, and hunt animals. A 22 long rifle can be used to catch small game. Hunting books can tell you how to clean and prepare these small game animals. If you live near water, have some fishing gear. It's a great idea. In the USA, there are next to no animals that are toxic. As a general guide, herbivores have softer meat and are not gamey tasting. Predators are, of course, edible, but the meat is tougher and gamier tasting. In Alaska once, I was hungry enough to shoot and eat a wolverine. It was tough, but it kept me alive. Okay. If you have radioactive...
Is this true? You ate a wolverine?
Yes.
But would you dare eat a honey badger?
No, it was a wolverine. I shot him across.
You know, those honey badgers, they're pretty damn tough.
This wolverine, when I poked it, I didn't touch him. I poked him with my rifle first, and he grabbed my barrel and just was, like a Tasmanian devil or something. He was acting dead, but when I poked him, he just grabbed my barrel and started swatting. I had to put another round in and shoot him off my rifle, but I had him for lunch. Anyway. So, if you have radioactive fallout, forget the fish. They will be toxic. For animals, don't eat any organs and leave 1/4 inch of meat on the bone where the radioactive isotopes tend to concentrate. So this, from the bone, 1/4 inch out, leave it, and then the meat 1/4 inch away, further out, away from 1/4 inch, that's edible meat, okay? The rest of the meat should be good. Fruits can be washed, then peeled. The meat under the peel is good. You must wash it before peeling so that you don't introduce radioactive fallout into the fruit as you peel it. It is already almost too late to buy lots of food. Extreme shortages are on their way from supply chain blockages that are intentional. Plus, with inflation, your money is worth less now, and it will worsen with time. Inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods. Inflation is a method to tax everyone at the same rate. If they pass this $3.5 trillion social engineering bill, everybody will be impoverished. From that. That's too much money chasing too few goods. Okay? So, how can I predict such things as supply chain blockages, inflation, power shortages, fuel shortages, global economic collapse, and World War III with certainty? Because what is happening is not natural. It is an artificial and planned. The statement at the very beginning, Henry Kissinger, and then I could just go on and on and on with statements going back decades and even centuries where they've been planning this. Okay. Not only is it planned, but those who planned it and are implementing it have been telling us openly that they were going to do this for decades. So it's not a secret. Okay.
Got it.
I think they like to do it because it's sort of a sort of a smart ass thing to do. They tell us we're going to do it, and then they laugh when we take no action on what they told us they were going to do.
That's an old game.
So they look at this as a sign of our ignorance and our stupidity. Okay. The thing is, they've told us what's coming, but we are caught up in daily life and do not accept what they are saying. Trust me, they're laughing at us. Okay? The next point I want to make is location, location, location. The first consideration in location is that you do not want to be in a place that is within 50 miles of a nuclear target. Where I say 50 miles because sometimes they don't hit where they're supposed to hit. They may be off a little bit. So you got to give it a wide berth. You can survive 20 miles out, but you don't know where the center of that 20 miles radius is going to be. Okay, so I would give it 50 miles. Okay. Second, you don't want to be downrange of surface-bursting nuclear target. So let me tell you where these surface-bursting targets are. They include submarine bases like San Diego, California, Bellingham, Washington, New London, Connecticut, or St. Mary's, Georgia. These also include 450 ICBM missile silos in the plains of Montana, Wyoming, North, and South Dakota. You can actually find these listed and the exact coordinates listed in on Google, on the Internet. They're there for everybody to see. They also include our nuclear weapons storage sites in Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Amarillo, Texas. Look at the average wind speeds and prevailing directions from these nuclear surface bursting sites and figure out how far the wind will blow fallout in 7 hours, because the radioactive fallout will be reduced by a factor of 10 in 7 hours, reduced by a factor of 149 hours. So if the average wind speed is 15 miles per hour, you will need to be at least 105 miles downwind of the target to have radioactive fallout reduced by a factor of 10, and by the time it gets to you. You still need at least 1 foot of reinforced concrete above you and on the sides, or dig in so that there is 3 feet of dirt above you. Caves are good, but must be closed off. Make sure dust cannot get in. Radiation that falls on the outside travels in a straight line, so the opening must have a wall in front of it that is covered. In other words, you don't have to have it completely closed off, just like you have a wall and then you have another wall, and towards the closed off part of the first wall, that's your entry point there. The radiation will not go around curves. Okay. So just be careful about wind blowing it in on you. That would be the problem. Our other nuclear, military nuclear targets will be our strategic nuclear bomber bases at Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, Whitman Air Force Base, Missouri, Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, and Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, and Warren Air Force Base, Wyoming. These will be targeted by air-bursting weapons, so fallout will not be an issue there. Large cities and metropolitan areas are nuclear targets also. If you live near any of these, you need to locate a bug-out place as soon as possible, on places you can get to by foot if necessary. Because remember, just let me say this. During war, what they always just love to do is I've studied war. I've even looked at wars in Africa and stuff and witnessed wars. People always run to the city, okay? Do not do that. Run away from the city. If you run to the city, your life is in other people's hands. If you run away from the city, your life is now in your own hands, okay? So you don't want to put your life in somebody else's hands. Okay?
Keep in mind
that a nuclear war can last as little as an hour, but they will cause supply chain and energy deprivations for a year at least. 90% of the world population will die in that year from famine, pestilence, crime, and banditry. Consider geography. If a rural hamlet has up to 100 people, a rural village up to 300 people, a rural town of up to 5,000 people, a hamlet or a village may be able to defend itself from bandits if the people all get along. Towns and cities are for victims. The further you separate yourself from others, the smaller target you will make. Woodland is good because it is not worth the effort of criminals to look for you. Remember, criminals are lazy. Okay, in governments, they go on a cost-benefit ratio. Like, is it, what is it worth? How much will they spend to get a small return? Okay, if you're just a few people out there, it may not be worth the trouble to come out. The same with criminals, and that's because they're lazy. Okay, it's not a financial thing. Okay, swamps are the best because they're hard to travel in. When I say criminals, I do include government forces. Wilderness is the best place to be. Consider geographical advantages such as water, food, and protection, such as if it is defensible and affords shelter. You need to find these places now. Okay, World War III can happen any time now, so you need to pick your ground now. In regards to the totalitarian state, the further you can get away from large cities and heavily populated areas, the better. The more remote you are, the less important you are, and the cost-benefit ratio of bothering you becomes too expensive for the meager returns they will get. Remember the old Chinese saying, Shangao Huangdi Yuan, which means the mountains are high and the emperor is far away. Make yourself a very small target. Okay. In the military, they teach you if you can be seen, you can be hit. In law enforcement, the corollary saying is people get arrested because they attract attention to themselves. Learn cover, concealment, and camouflage that suits your environment. Communications is an easy and sure way for the government to locate you. Leave your cell phone behind. It will cost you your life. A radio receiver is a good idea to collect information, but do not transmit. Shortwave radio receivers can pick up news from around the globe. Develop non-electronic means of signaling. Okay, these are just some basic things you have to do to stay alive, okay?
Very good.
Even I have a radio detection finder. I used to have one on my sailboat, and I just took it off when I sold the boat. It will work on land also. It can locate the direction of a radio signal with it. If you get two of them, you can triangulate, and you can locate the exact spot where somebody is broadcasting from. This is easy stuff. It's old stuff. Location is about you knowing where they are without them knowing where you are. Real soldiers find, fix, and destroy. Note that they have to find you first. Fixing you is getting you into a position where you cannot retreat. This is maneuver, and you must be free to maneuver so they cannot fix you. If they fix you, they can destroy you. To the civilian, just realize that you cannot defend your house from a large group of aggressors, okay? It is better to have positions outside your home and use your home as the decoy to lure them in. If you have a high-powered rifle, like a 7.62x51 NATO round, with a range of 600 yards, and they have AR platforms with a range of 300 yards, then you have an advantage over your adversaries. Take that advantage. Okay? Of course, when picking a location, also consider tsunamis, volcanoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, areas prone to natural disaster make life obviously more difficult. Okay? So these are just some fundamental things that people hopefully have been thinking about them for a long time. I'm sure most of your listeners have thought of these things and stuff, but you really need to get your thinking organized and decide what it is that you're going to need and what you're not going to need. You need to find a place to go. If you're not in a good place already, you need to find a place that you can go to. Okay. If there's anarchy and World War III, the forest rangers are going to come along to tell you to move along. Okay. He's going to be worried about his own self, and he won't be out there to bother you. So you have that advantage. Okay. Most of the preparation that our military has been doing for the past 30 years is controlling coastal cities. Okay. So don't be in a coastal city, you know. That's where that's where they plan to be afterwards and stuff, because that's what they're going to control. They want to control ports. They want to control transportation, okay? Because in order to control you, they have to find you and they have to fix you, just the same as they have to do if they're going to kill you, okay? So keep in mind that what's on their mind is find, fix, and destroy. So don't let them find you. Don't let them fix you. And then the destroy part won't happen, okay?
Well, we hope not.
So generally, that's the way it works out. Okay, is in order to hit you, they have to find you. Okay, so don't do anything that gives. You know, it's like everybody's so tethered to their cell phone now, and that cell phone will be your death. Okay, they can find you with that. They can locate you very quickly. When I used to sail with my radio direction finder, I would find two radio stations at two different frequencies, and all I do is you just turn the knob on top, and you'll have static, and then when you're pointing directly at the radio signal, it'll go silent. So you take that direction down, and then you find another radio station, put your radio direction finder to it, and when you get that azimuth, you do back azimuth, and that locates where you are at. You can just reverse that process to locate somebody else. It takes the military less than a minute to locate you if you're on a cell phone. And keep in mind, even if your cell phone is, even if you're not talking on it, they can still locate you with it. It's like having one of those little monitoring devices on your ankle. They can tell where you've been and where you're going. Okay, so just drop the phone behind, leave it behind. Don't even take it with you. It's of no value. It'll get you killed. Okay, if you take the shot, they can locate you. Okay, you belong to them. If you get vaccinated, you belong to the government. They will know where you're at. They can even flip switches and kill you remotely. They don't even have to come looking for you. Okay. The vaccination is their ultimate power over you. Okay. So the most important piece of advice is don't get that vaccination. Not just in the long term effects, but the short term ability of the government to find you and control you. Okay. So. I hope that kind of helps people organize their thinking a little bit. And
well, it does. It does. Bring some clarity to it.
Yeah, information in there. There's things they don't teach people about biological warfare, chemical warfare. And like, who teaches you that you can, after a nuclear war, you can still hunt deer and eat the deer. You just have to leave a quarter inch of meat around the bones and don't eat any organs, okay? So who teaches you that? Well, the military, they teach you that, but they don't teach civilians that. I get that from an Air Force survival manual. Air Force is probably the most developed in its survival techniques. Because, well, pilots crash in weird places, and they have to be able to survive, so.
Sure.
Under all environments. So they put out good information.
Very
but
good.
But ultimately, it's up to each of us, you know. We can band together. Just band together with people you can get along with, okay? And keep in mind that the battle lines are drawn, you know. Try to just be with people who are have the most in common with you, who are the most like you, you know, who think like you the most. Because
sure.
You can't have divisions in your group. You've got to work together
to survive. Won't work. It won't work. You're right. Absolutely right. Wow. Okay, Mitch, thank you for that. Very good.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Pretty crazy out there, and your steady hand is always
appreciated. I want everybody to be ready to go for what's coming.
And it's on the way. All right. Talk to you soon, Mitch. Thank you. Excellent.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Mitchell Henderson. We'll be right back.